Let's turn together to God's Word and to the book of Isaiah and chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And while you're finding the place, can I again say thank you to Desmond for his kind words of welcome, and thank you to you for the opportunity of sharing together in the worship of the Lord today. It's been a pleasure, and again we look to God this evening for his help and for his blessing that he might minister to us. Isaiah chapter 55, Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and you shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing to which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. We pray that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Someone has said that if you want to know the thinking of a generation, listen carefully to the words of the songs that they sing. Back in the 1960s, the Rolling Stones had a number one song with the title, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Apart from the bad grammar, and that gives away my age, the words of the song express the thinking of a generation. Let me quote them to you, or some of them. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction because I try and I try and I try. I can't get no satisfaction. When I'm driving in my car and that man comes on the radio and he's telling me more and more about some useless information supposed to fire my imagination, I can't get no satisfaction. When I'm watching my TV and that man comes on to tell me how white my shirts can be, well, he can't be a man because he doesn't smoke the same cigarettes as me. I can't get no satisfaction. Because I try, and I try, and I try, and I try, but I can't get no satisfaction. The 60s are seen as the generation that kicked over the traces and wrote the book on doing your own thing. But in many ways, they were no different from every other generation before or since. They were all about achieving man's major mission in life. Finally getting their hands on that passionately sought after, yet most elusive commodity of satisfaction. It's true that the 60s generation pursued it with a great deal more abandon than previous generations. And in doing so, set the tone for future generations to pursue it with less and less and less inhibitions. But it has to be said, they pursued it with no more success. Everyone wants satisfaction in every aspect of life. That's the ultimate goal. When we buy something, we want value for money. We want satisfaction with the product. We don't like to be taken advantage of. We don't like to be conned. We like the things that we invest our money and our time and our energy in to live up to their claims. We like them to give satisfaction. And how well the God who has made us knows us. Because he picks up on this important issue in our lives and he challenges us about our consistency when it comes to satisfaction. How come we're so particular? We're so dedicated when it comes to satisfaction in the physical and the material area of life. And yet so casual, so dismissive when it comes to the vastly more important area of the spiritual. In Isaiah 55 and verse 2, God poses the question, why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? And the first thing that we see in this text here is that there is a dedicated occupation. He says, why spend? Why labor? The imagery here is of people who are spending their lives laboring. It's an image of dedication to a task. There's a busyness. There's a great sense of determination about the activity. And the goal of that activity is bread. That which satisfies. And as in Isaiah's time, so in our day. That spending, that laboring in pursuit of this satisfaction takes many different forms. For many in Isaiah's day, as today, it takes the form of religion. A lot of people are searching for satisfaction in some form of religious experience. They spend their lives and their energies in following different religious philosophies. Some Christian, some not. Praying, studying the writings, laboring to keep the rules, trying to live good lives. And their hope is that somehow in doing that, they will find that inner peace, that satisfaction that gives some sort of value and meaning to life. For others, they pursue it in occupation. Their search for satisfaction takes them into the realms of the workplace. Their lives and their energies are spent in pursuit of their business or their career. They labor with great dedication to build the business, to further the career, to increase the bank balance, to own the bigger house, the better holiday, the prestigious accessories. And in multiplying possessions, in improving their position in society, they hope, they trust, they believe that they will find the inner peace, that satisfaction that makes all of it worthwhile. For still others, the search takes them into recreation. Here, life is spent, labor is invested in enjoyment. and pleasure, with boundless energy and seemingly endless resources. Life is spent in the pursuit of all kinds of entertainment, from the bar to the bingo, from the disco to the drug culture, from food to foreign shores. Everything and anything that offers fun and excitement and stimulation is pursued with a passion. And it's pursued in the misguided belief that therein lies this elusive satisfaction. For many others, the search leads them into the sensual. This, like many ages before, is the age of the sensual. It's a common mistake to try to satisfy the soul, the inner person, by laboring to satisfy the desires of the outer person. And our generation, our society, spends its whole time and its energies stimulating and then trying to satisfy the senses. Sex sells everything. Image is everything. Feeding the must-have desires. The motto is, if it feels good, do it. If it looks good, have it. If it sounds good, believe it. Follow the motto, trust the message, and satisfaction is yours. But the amazing thing is everyone has believed the lie. Everyone has believed the lie. Everyone is convinced that they will find satisfaction in these and in many other ways. And you can see that they're convinced of it by the way they pursue their particular course. And yet the astonishing thing is the way they continue year after year after year after year without ever finding this inner peace, this satisfaction, and yet still pursuing it along these lines. But then, when you think about it, there are none so easily deceived as the desperate. When someone is desperate for a solution, they're so much easier to be deceived. Wonder what you're spending, what you're laboring at to find this satisfaction in your life. This inner peace that brings purpose, that brings meaning to life. Why do you labor? Why do you spend? God says there's a dedicated occupation. But he goes on and he tells us that there's a deceptive outcome. He says, why do you spend and why do you labor for what is not bread and what does not satisfy? You see, here's the crunch. Here's the reality that has to be faced. To put it in common language, God is saying that you're being stitched up. You're being conned. All this time, all this energy, all this labor that you're putting into these various activities in search of satisfaction is simply being wasted. Because they don't work. They don't work. None of these, or the thousand other things that people pursue in search of satisfaction, none of them bring satisfaction. What they deliver, to use the words in Isaiah here, is not bread. None. None satisfy. None bring that inner peace. But you say, hold on a minute. How can you say that? How can you say that they don't bring satisfaction? Well, quite easily. If they do satisfy, Why have you and everyone else been chasing after them for year after year after year after year? If they satisfy, why are you still pursuing it? Why, after all this time and energy that you've spent, all this labor, why are you still chasing? Why are you still searching? Why are you still laboring for satisfaction if they satisfy? Why is the world out there spending billions of pounds every year trying to create new ways of satisfying its customers? The answer is very simple. Because so far, it hasn't succeeded. It hasn't succeeded. It hasn't been able to produce the answer, and it never will. It never will. Just stop for a moment and be honest with yourself. Have any of these things that you have pursued so far in your life brought you satisfaction? Can you say this evening as you sit there in your seat that you have a peace within yourself? You've spent, you've labored, you've sold your body and your mind and your self-respect in search of satisfaction, and what have you got to show for that search? For all that effort, for all that you've paid? If you're honest, inside you're just as empty as when you started. If not even more so. You're like the thirsty man drinking salt water. Instead of it quenching the thirst, it only increases the thirst. It intensifies it. Everyone, young and old alike, either consciously or unconsciously, is searching for satisfaction, for inner peace. And that's understandable. Why wouldn't we want that? And everyone thinks, if only I had certain things, I'd be satisfied. The poor man thinks, well, if only I had more money, I'd be satisfied. If you think that, then go and ask the rich man. Because he wants more as well. Someone asked a very wealthy man on one occasion how much money was enough, to which he replied, just a little bit more. The ambitious person wants fame. If you think that's the answer, then go and talk to the famous. Ask them, have they got satisfaction and peace? No. The sensuous person says, if I could gratify my passions, I'd find the answer. If you think that, go and talk to the promiscuous person who's discovered that rather than satisfaction, they've found that satisfaction is no longer possible. You see, each one thinks, if only my wishes were granted, if only I could have whatever it is, peace and satisfaction would be mine. But the reality is that all that happens is it creates a desire for more of whatever it is they're pursuing. The truth, God says, is that you are a victim of the oldest deception, the oldest con in the history of mankind. It goes right back to the Garden of Eden. Satan pulled the same deception on Adam and Eve. What did he say to them? He said, eat of this fruit and you'll be the tops. You'll be like God. They believed him. What happened? Instead of reaching the pinnacle, they reached rock bottom. And so have millions upon millions of people since. Right now you're maybe sitting there thinking, well, he would say that after all. That's his job. That's what he's there for. What does he know about real life? You think when the preacher talks about things like this that he hasn't a clue what the real world's all about. How would he know where fun and satisfaction is to be found? He doesn't live in the real world. He lives in a wee world of his own. Here's news for you. Preachers are not the idiots many people think they are. They weren't born preachers. They've been around. They've seen and tried many of these things that are on offer out there. You see, there's nothing really new out there. Others have tried them long before us. The only difference is that we have found out, as you will sooner or later, that they don't satisfy. They don't satisfy. They simply destroy. But the important thing here is not what the preacher says. It's what God says. Here's the thing. Suppose you've got a problem with your car. There's something just not working properly. You ask your husband or your wife, and they say, well, if you do such and such, that'll fix it. You ask your work colleagues, got this problem with my car. Do so and so, and that'll cure the problem. You ask a neighbor. He says, no, no, no. This is what you want to do to put that right. And you talk to the maker, the manufacturer. And he says, look, we designed this car. We made this car. We know what makes it work. Do this, and it'll solve the problem. Whose advice would you take? Your husband's, your wife's, your work colleagues, your neighbor's? Or the person who made the car, who knows what makes it work, who knows what will fix it? You know the answer to that. Well, who made you? Who made you? Who knows what will fix you? Who put you together? Who knows what will satisfy? What will bring you inner peace, that will give your life meaning? Who knows that? Again, you know the answer. The God who made you knows how to fix you. He knows what will bring you satisfaction. That's why it's what he says that really matters. And what does he say? He says, well, quite simply, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your energy chasing after satisfaction and inner peace in all of these other ways, because they're only going to end in greater hunger and greater thirst. And worse, they will eventually destroy you. God says, listen, you're paying dear for what is not bread, for what doesn't satisfy. You're being conned. You're spending your whole life in a futile search that will only lead you to spending eternity in a fearful separation from God and an endless torment instead of inner peace. There's a dedicated occupation here. There's a pursuit of satisfaction, but there's a deceptive outcome. It's a chasing after that which is not bread and which doesn't satisfy. But there's also a dependable offer here. A dependable offer. You see, the great mistake that man makes is, again, trying to satisfy the inner soul with outer things. If you can imagine, it's like trying to satisfy the hunger of a starving child by holding up a picture of food. The food might look really good, really nice, really attractive in the picture, but the child's stomach is still empty. The hunger's not satisfied. Nothing can satisfy, nothing can bring inner peace but God. Augustine got it spot on when he wrote, Lord, you have created us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in you. In you. God exposes the irony of this deception of spending and being spent, of laboring and being weary in pursuit of satisfaction which is never achieved. He says, come and buy. Come and possess satisfaction. Come and possess inner peace without money and without price. Without money, without price. Come all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Hear me that your soul may live. Here's an amazing truth. What you're searching for, what you're looking for, that satisfaction, that inner peace, can be had. It can be had. Not in any of these other ways, but from God. It can be yours when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and admit your failure in trying to live your life for yourself and ignoring His laws and ignoring His demands upon you. When you turn away from that way of life and ask His forgiveness, when you call on Him to come into your life, to take control and to enable you to live for Him, to live in obedience to Him. That's when it can be had. Satisfaction, inner peace, is not found in any of these other ways. It's found in a person. That person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who commit their lives to Him find satisfaction. Now and for eternity. The soul that is filled with Christ, the life that's occupied with Him, is at peace and is truly satisfied. Man's problem again is that this satisfaction can't be bought, can't be earned. It can't be had through labor or by price. But here's the amazing bit. The only payment possible is made by the one who offers it, the Lord Jesus. All the gain goes to the receiver, to you. Satisfaction, peace, eternal life. The most costly, precious thing imaginable is given away for nothing. It's the gift of God. And it's only the gift of God. You ever seen those offers in the shop? You get two articles taped together, and one has got a sticker on it that says, not for resale. You can only have it as part of an offer. You can't buy it separately. Salvation's a bit like that. Not for resale. Christ has paid the price for it. It can only be had as a gift. Here it is. That most elusive of all of man's desires. Satisfaction. Here's the success of the mission. God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has given His life in full and final payment for your salvation. God offers it freely to you. All the amazing benefits of salvation, including satisfaction and inner peace and meaning of life, can be yours without money and without price. It's there simply for the asking. Here's the invitation. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come and buy and eat. Without money, without cost. What more can be said? Unlike all the other offers of satisfaction, which you know don't work. You know they don't work. Here's a dependable offer that will work, because it comes from the Maker. It comes from the Maker. All the other things said you spend, labor, work, do. But they never bring satisfaction. All they bring is more thirst and more hunger and eventually destruction. God doesn't say, come and spend, come and labor. He says, come and get, come and receive eternal life, peace, satisfaction, free to everyone who will receive it. I can't get no satisfaction, because I try and I try and I try and I try, but I can't get no satisfaction. Mick Jagger was right. He was a lot smarter than he realized. He couldn't get it. And 40 odd years later, he still hasn't got it. And he still can't get it. And he never will. And nor will you, as long as you, like him, keep pursuing it in the wrong places. God says, why spend money on what is not bread? And your labor on what doesn't satisfy? Come, all you who are thirsty, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Without money, without price. He says, I have what you're looking for. Satisfaction, inner peace, eternal life. And what's more, I want to give it to you for free. Will you come? Will you turn your back on all these other ways that you've been trying? Will you reach out and take from him what money can't buy and what labor can't earn? And like many others before you, discover a wonderful Savior who's true to his word, and a wonderful satisfaction, a contentment, an inner peace, an eternal life that nothing and no one can ever take away from you. Will you come this evening and seek him and find in him everything that you need? Oh, that you might be wise, that you might come and find satisfaction, and find not only an inner peace,